From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, July 30th, 2019. Planned Parenthood of Northern New England's urging Congress to reverse what it describes as the Trump administration's gag rule on abortion for organizations that receive Title X funding. The rule is also being fought in several lawsuits, but Planned Parenthood's Nicole Clegg says lawmakers should intervene. Eight people face federal charges after they were arrested by U.S. Border Patrol agents near Mars Hill last week. Seven have been charged with illegal entry into the U.S. and the eighth with bringing in and harboring certain aliens, a felony under federal law. According to an affidavit filed in federal court, Border Patrol agents were called in by state police after a traffic stop. Everyone in the car identified themselves as Mexican and either didn't have valid documents or told agents that they had crossed illegally. Agents eventually followed a trail back to a remote point by the border and matched footprints with what the car's passengers were wearing. That's according to the affidavit. Customs and Border Protection Houlton Sector spokesman Mark Phillips says the tracking is part of border agents' training.
Whenever we catch a smuggling case or we're able to identify that somebody had crossed the border, it's very important to us to be able to backtrack and figure out where that happened at.
According to the affidavit, Margarita Lucera Luis told border agents that he was being paid to pick up the passengers and bring them to New York. The husband of a woman stabbed to death in a Saco Shaw's supermarket in 2015 is appealing the dismissal of a federal lawsuit against Shaw's. 59-year-old Wendy Boudreau was attacked by Connor McAllister. McAllister told police they were angry with life and had gone to the store to kill several random people. McAllister was sentenced to life in prison after pleading guilty to the stabbing. The Portland Press-Herald reports Boudreau's husband, Jeffrey Boudreau, sued Shaw's. In dismissing the suit, U.S. District Court Judge D. Brock Hornby ruled that Shaw's personnel could not have known or anticipated the attack. And unhealthy air is being forecast again for tomorrow in parts of Maine. The Maine Department of Environmental Protection says high ozone levels will make air unhealthy for sensitive groups for the southwest coast and mid-coast, including the high elevations of Acadia National Park. Particle pollution is forecast to be moderate statewide. In weather tonight, partly cloudy and humid with some fog along the coast and in the valleys, lows in the mid-60s to low 70s. Tomorrow, overcast with showers, very humid with highs in the high 70s to high 80s north to interior south. And on Thursday, becoming partly sunny and less humid, highs in the mid-70s to mid-80s. Every summer, a few interns are selected from hundreds of applicants to camp in primitive conditions on a tiny treeless island several miles off the Maine coast. Their job description calls for a sense of humor and love of adventures, the outdoors, and birds. In this case, Atlantic puffins and other seabirds that require monitoring as part of a decades-long restoration project. Susan Sharon has more.
It takes about 30 minutes by boat to reach Eastern Egg Rock, an exposed 7-acre island with seaweed-covered boulders and windswept grass. This is home to what's known as Project Puffin. Hundreds of screeching gulls and terns circle overhead. The noise, says Sarah Guitart, never stops.
Anytime that I'm like, oh, you know, I wish these birds would just be a little bit quieter, you got to remember that you're in a seabird colony and it's pretty wonderful, so.
Guitart is the crew lead for the four interns and research assistants living and working on the island from May to August. She wears earplugs to get to sleep in her tent at night. Atlantic puffins are the quieter of the residents. They're cute and colorful, with their tuxedo-looking suits of black and white feathers, bright orange beaks, and feet. But by the late 1800s, they'd largely disappeared from their historic nesting grounds in this region, killed off by hunters for food and feathers. More than a century later, the puffins are back.
So this little puffin chick is about 5 weeks old. I can tell that by the lack of down on it.
Dr. Stephen Kress, founder of the National Audubon Society's Project Puffin, examines a chick that's been pulled from a burrow deep between some rocks. In 1973, with permission from the government, he started transporting puffin chicks from a healthy colony in Newfoundland to Eastern Egg Rock. The unusual effort paid off and eventually expanded. There are now 1,300 pairs on five main islands. The puffin chick is weighed and measured.
So I'd say it's very much on target. There seem to be enough small fish.
And while Kress says this puffin population is stable, it's small and vulnerable to disease and to predators like gulls, which the interns occasionally have to shoot. The puffins are also being affected by rapidly warming temperatures in the Gulf of Maine.
So we just kind of throw our bucket in the water, and I'm going to drop this in here. And I usually leave the thermometer in for like a minute.
Nadia Swanson takes a sea surface temperature to look for changes that might affect small fish that puffins depend on for survival.
It's like 62 degrees. this morning it was 60 degrees, so it got a little warmer.
That may seem warm unless you need a shower, and the Gulf of Maine is the only option. Out here, there is no running water. Hats and long sleeves are essential, because bird droppings land on everyone and everything.
I brought out my poopier hat. Should I wear a not poopier hat?
Having a sense of humor out here doesn't hurt, but having patience is required. Interns spend hours at a time in blinds, carefully observing birds' nesting and feeding habits.
Things are changing, and we are here potentially documenting that change and trying to figure out, like, what are the questions we need to be asking and how do we get that information out of the seabirds.
Nadia, actually, does it seem large enough to band?
Yeah.
Yeah? And I'll set her up with that.
The job also involves grubbing for chicks, reaching into deep and narrow burrows and carefully pulling out puffins and other chicks like this feisty black guillemot. The chicks are weighed, measured, and banded. The work days are long, and the pay is low. But Michael Rickershauser, a former auto mechanic from Long Island, doesn't mind. He says he's discovered that this is his passion.
It was sort of a dream come true to come work out here. It's something special. It's more than seeing a picture or reading a book.
Over Project Puffin's 46-year history, more than 500 interns have worked on several main islands protecting and monitoring seabirds, as a way to guide future conservation. Dr. Kress says the main lesson he hopes they've learned is that people can be destructive to a species, but with their presence and perseverance, they can also help bring it back. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation about Maine's prison system. I'm Nora Flaherty.